Do you want to introduce yourself and Jane? Just say.
Yeah, my name is Jane Belshaw, and I've actually been dancing since I was two. Yeah, I know. Two, I did ballet first of all. And then I came to the rhythms, I think when I was about 35, something like that. I might have been a bit younger, actually, a bit younger. Trained in five rhythms to teach in 2001. So I graduated in 2001, and I'm still teaching five rhythms and open floor now. That's me. Yeah.
So I'm Jess, and I've also been dancing kind of forever. I first know that I was dancing in when I was seven, because I know the music that I was dancing to, and it was on Top of the Pops. So I know that I was seven when I was dancing to that. But I think I was dancing before then, so like a really long time. And I, like you, got, I think I've done a little bit of general kind of Osho's dancing, first of all, but then the kind of conscious dance that really caught me was the five rhythms. And I started dancing the rhythms in 2000, I think in 2001, and I was 38, so it was probably about, so I know you're a little bit younger than me, it's probably about the same time that you started. And then eventually I trained to teach open floor in, I don't know what year that was, it was the first open floor training. Now I don't really teach open floor. I use some bits and pieces from there, but I just teach like a general conscious dance, which is quite eclectic. It takes pieces from everywhere, from all the many different kinds of dancing that I've done throughout my life. But I was wondering, because you started so young, was that, were you sent to ballet, or was...
Oh, no.
You really wanted to go when you were...
Oh, gosh, desperate. Oh, yeah, absolutely desperate. And then I still remember, I was a little bit older then, because we'd moved house. And so I didn't go to the same little ballet school. I've still got photos from then. But I watched Ballet Shoes.
That's
on.
A little inset on the video.
Yeah, I said it. Yeah, I'll see if I can find it. It's a little red cape. I watched Ballet Shoes on TV, and I just couldn't stop crying. I was like, I want to go. And so, yeah, I started.
Wow.
Yeah, I started then. Mum really got it, that I really, really, really wanted to do it.
That's good.
And I just loved it. And then I went to a ballet school. So I did it, you know, I kind of lived that dream. You know that one, like Mallory Towers? Yeah. I used to read Mallory Towers. I did not live Mallory Towers. That wasn't my background, but like I used to read it. And then I went to a ballet school, and it was like Mallory Towers. I loved it. Loved it all. Yeah.
Do you have a sense of what made you want to do it when you were two? It was about it.
I found it so beautiful. I found the girls so beautiful, the dresses, the hair, and it just seemed like just so different to my life. I just, you know, it was so romantic to me. And I still feel it when I talk about it now. I find it so romantic, even if I kind of look at ballerinas, it's like I find them so beautiful, and I used to draw them. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I, because I also have a bit of a ballet background, but my childhood background was really different, because I don't think anybody in my family, for some reason, that it never occurred to anybody to think, oh, she really wants to dance. Mm. And I was kind of like a secret dancer.
Oh.
And that's really why, I think that, I'm sure that's really why I ended up writing more, because writing was, you know, that was approved of, and it was sort of legitimate in my family. So I got a bit more kind of encouragement to do it, but dancing, not really.
Even when you were really little, you know, because like, no, no.
But I think, well, I was going to say it's a class thing partly, but I think you're probably, I mean, I think we're sort of from the same kind of class background, like really kind of working class. My parents didn't, you know, it wasn't the kind of background where, you know, you get sent off to do all these different lessons, and wasn't that. I remember really, really wanting to have riding lessons, and I, you know, I was told they were too expensive. Maybe they were too expensive. But yeah, it just wasn't, yeah, so I was kind of a secret dancer, but I always did dance. So I think I was doing five rhythms, conscious dance, like, you know, way before I knew it was a thing.
You know, oh yeah.
Child, that's what I was doing.
What did you do at school? Because we did that at school as well. Remember music and movement?
Music, mime and movement, yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that never really grabbed me because it just seemed a bit silly. But yeah, we did used to do that. Yeah. And then but when I was a teenager, I was really obsessed with ballet. I was absolutely obsessed with it. And it was, you know, it was the 70s, I guess, at that time. And there was, you know, like you really saw, and it wasn't like now where you can go on YouTube and you can see, you know, ballet from every country in the world and every dancer. So it was like if a ballet came on television, like, I was like, wow, really exciting.
Yeah. Remember Christmas? It was always like a Christmas fest, wasn't there?
Ballet, yeah.
Yeah, Nutcracker.
Yeah.
It was always on TV at Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah. And did you follow Margot Fonteyn as well when you were little?
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
And Rudolf Nureyev.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Because they were such superstars at that time. I actually saw him as well. I saw him dance when he was getting on a bit by then. But I remember seeing him at the Colosseum when I was probably about, well, I was too young to go to London on my own, so I must have been, I think I was about 14, 13 or 14.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw Margot Fonteyn. Mum took me.
Oh.
Yeah. And I thought at the time that all dancers had to have black hair.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And then I actually, I started doing ballet when I was, we think 19, I think, because then I was at university, and then, you know, there was that sort of dance studio boom with Pineapple and all those things. Suddenly it was all really big, and so there was a dance studio opened, and I started doing ballet, and then that was it. I was just completely obsessed with it then.
At Pineapple?
No, I wasn't in London yet. I was in Reading at that point. Did my first degree in Reading, and it was just a little local studio with some people teaching. You know, they were teaching all that kind of aerobics and what have you. But
oh, yeah. That was massive at the time, wasn't
it? Yeah.
Absolutely massive.
Yeah. The person who owned it, I think, was ballet trained, and she taught a ballet class, and there was somebody else who taught a ballet class.
Yeah, because when I was 19, I was doing etch lessons at Pineapple.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because I remember that you suddenly could just go into, you know, and join sessions. I thought that was brilliant as well.
Amazing. Yeah, then I moved to London like a couple of years after that, and then I used to go to Pineapple and dance works, and I used to go to the Erdang Academy a lot.
All right. Yeah, I do remember. I never went there though. No, I never went there, but
scuzzy. It was really scuzzy. Yeah, so I had that whole ballet thing going on, and then I'd also started doing yoga at university.
Oh, so that's when you started?
Yeah.
And was that the kind of yoga you do now?
No, the kind of yoga, so now I'm an Ashtanga teacher and practitioner, but back then there wasn't really that kind of, it didn't really exist. The first kind of yoga I did was Iyengar, which is very sort of quite static and very alignment based and very can be quite dogmatic, but the teacher I had was a little bit eccentric, and so that made it a lot better. Actually, she got us doing all kinds of stuff that normally I think, yeah, you wouldn't get a general group of random university students to do if you're an Iyengar teacher. So quite good. But then I found that the interesting thing about it is that because I'm hypermobile, there were lots of things that, you know, she'd say, okay, no, we're going to do this. And I'd just do it and be like, oh, well, when are we going to do the yoga then? Because to me, a lot of those things weren't even yoga postures.
Mm.
They were just normal sitting positions for me.
And, you know, when you did that, did that kind of fill a gap from the ballet or because there's some similarities, isn't there?
There's something. I mean, I think that presented itself before ballet presented itself.
Mm.
I really wanted to do is dance. But I think underneath all of that, what I really wanted was to be embodied. I mean, I couldn't have articulated that, but I'm trying to think how to say this without going into the whole sort of backstory, but because I am hypermobile and therefore don't have very good proprioception, I don't have very good body boundaries, and I never really felt, and I still struggle with this now, although it's a lot better, I never really felt that I had a body boundary and I was all kind of held together, and like I just always felt as if I was disintegrating and just couldn't hold all the bits together.
That's so opposite.
Really?
It's so opposite to how I feel about my body and why I do it. It's because I feel so static and so together.
That's
really yeah, it's really funny to hear you say that. I kind of knew that you felt that way, but the way you articulate it.
Yeah, so I definitely that moving kind of gathers everything in and kind of gets me, then I feel like, yes, here I am, I'm in this. It's not all dissolving.
Yeah. And I feel, oh my gosh, this it's almost like I remember, not particularly with ballet, but when I started doing Five Rhythms, I kept feeling it was almost like there was rivers moving through, you know, places that were so, it was almost like everything was ground, everything was held, everything was together, everything was inside this boundary. And it was like, it had this sense of, breaking those down, actually. Yeah, breaking those down for them to become more fluid.
That's really interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, yoga came along first for me, and I never really got into those static forms of yoga. I mean, the thing about Ashtanga, which is what I do now, is that it moves. It's quite dance-like.
Mm.
And then ballet came along, and ballet was really my thing. And then I did various different, you know, I did all sorts of different performance dance things. And you know, I did ballet for a really long time. I did it till Rowan, my son, was born when I was 36. And I actually did go back after that for a little while. And then I felt like I can't really be in this culture anymore.
The ballet culture?
Ballet culture, yeah. I couldn't really be in that culture that was all about, you know, the aesthetic surface of it anymore. That it just didn't. I mean, I've actually gone back to ballet now a little bit, but come back to it from a different perspective. But at that time, I just felt like I need something that's got a bit more depth in it. And that's when I found Ashtanga. And at the same time, I found Five Rhythms.
At the same time?
The same time, yeah, and I stopped doing ballet and kind of shifted into doing those two practices.
I mean, it is, it's a very particular aesthetic, isn't it? And I think somehow I'm still in it. I can really feel that part of myself.
I never really,
it's still there. There's something about it. And I notice even when I watch ballet, I go straight into that mode. It's the way I perceive it, and there's some sort of perfection in it that some part of me really likes. I really, you know, I look at it and some part of me turns on with it. And it's certainly not the place I go to Five Rhythms with.
No,
not at all.
You know, and Ashtanga is the same. I mean, I think that's why I so easily went from ballet to Ashtanga, is that you're never going to get it. It's always going to be just that little bit beyond what you can do.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and there's something so incredibly beautiful, you know, about that as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm kind of glad I have that part of myself as well. But interestingly, my technique in ballet was never as good as my kind of musicality, my sense of music, my sense of style through the through doing ballet. That was always my big frustration, was that side of me was much, much stronger. Whereas of course in Five Rhythms, you know, I can lead with that place because so it was an incredible freedom for me. It wasn't a difficult transition. But I mean, I didn't find it straight away. The bit that I forgot to mention was I found it through going to clubs.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's what I did. I did, I think, three years of clubs in Manchester when the scene was massive, and I couldn't stop dancing. I literally couldn't stop. And I kind of, and it's the same thing actually. Like I danced my life open. My life was a real box. Mm. And I was with this guy that I was gonna marry. I was so bored out of my mind. I remember like I had my Laura Ashley clothes and I was so bored. And I got this part in a play in Manchester, and it was one of our rehearsal calls, was to go to the Hacienda and to try ecstasy. No lie, with the company we went, you know. And of course, you know, it was the last thing, you know, I'd ever tried. Mm. You know, I was really kind of living my perfect little housewife thing. I was very young as well, but that's what I was doing. And then we had this call to go to the Hacienda, and I remember trying with, I mean, I still know these people from the cast, we had such a good time together. But I remember that Chris, my friend, he took it, and then look, he kind of just went off. He was going, I'm the best fucking dancer on this dance floor. And I went like, wow. And then suddenly the same thing happened for me. And I went, oh my God, I feel like I'm in a church. That was my sense of it. I feel like I'm in a church. And suddenly every move I made had meaning. Mm-hmm. And then myself and Chris, we got into it a really big time. But then eventually I dropped the ecstasy, but I carried on the dancing. Mm-hmm. And then I got fed up of clubs. And I was like, I was wanting something. And I tried going back to all the pineapple stuff and it didn't work for me. It didn't work because I think something to do with this freedom of expression and the music. Like I was really deeply listening to the music by then. Mm. And eventually it was a very circuitous route. I tried all different sorts of dance and it all felt a little bit dead for me. And then I remember walking into... It was Sue's class at the Swanfleet Centre.
No, that's a bit before my time, I think.
Right, it was the Swanfleet Centre, and I remember feeling like I'm home. Mm. Yeah, and then I just got as crazy as I got in the clubs. I got as crazy, you know, about Five Rhythms. Mm. But the difference was when I did ballet, I never connected emotions with the body itself.
Yeah,
there was something about I connected it with the movement of the body, but not the body itself, not that it was, they were in the body. And when I went to Sue's class, I remember it was behind my left shoulder. Every time I made a move, I would see me breaking up with my partner and I would cry. And it completely fascinated me. I even remember exactly where I was standing when it happened. And I just kept going like this, and the same memory and the same feeling. And I actually, it was only the first time, and it was probably very late by everybody's standards, but went, oh, feelings live in the body. Mm-hmm. And they stay. And I think that's what hooked me. Yeah, that's what got me hooked.
Yeah, I can remember my first Five Rhythms class, which was with Nina, what's Nina's second name? Nina Robertson.
Yeah,
at the factory.
Yeah.
And I always had this experience, you know, people often talk about, oh, I went to my first Five Rhythms class and I was really nervous and I hung around the edges and it was really scary and I was too scared to move. And I had completely the opposite experience of that. I just walked in and I was like, yes, now I feel okay. Now I know what to do in this place. And I remember her sort of saying to me at the beginning, okay, well, I'll talk you through the rhythms a little bit as they come up and stuff. And then she didn't say a thing because she'd obviously realised I'd be talking through the rhythm. So it's just like, okay, yes, right, I'm here, I'm dancing.
But a very different
way of, I mean, for me, I guess it was a little bit similar to the kind of movement that I was doing in yoga, but at that time I'd only just started doing Ashtanga, so yeah, it was quite a new way of, I think I knew sort of intellectually that their body held emotions, but I think for me what was really important and still is important now is that it's so easy to step into that kind onto that kind of dance floor and do something, you know, like and do the dance. Mm. But it's finding that, you know, like just underneath that level of doing it, where there's that layer of movement that just starts coming out on its own.
Mm.
And I'm just following it, and I don't know what's coming next, and I don't know what it means, or I don't know.
Mm.
That's what really fascinates me.
Mm.
Is that, yeah, just following that thing. And then if I, you know, there are times when I just can't find that place at all. And then there are those times when I'm in it and I could just keep on following it and following it and following it and following it.
Yeah. It's just taking me to that place, you know. It's just such a magical feeling, isn't it? And it is, I think that is my, you know, that is the place I go to for that, is Five Rhythms or Open Floor. Particularly in Open Floor, you know, when we do Open Circle.
Oh, yeah.
When we do Open Circle and it goes on for a long time, I just feel so happy. Like, I feel there's something about that sense of being contained, not just by the teacher, but by everybody in some way. Mm. And I'm so happy not to know what's going to come. And I do think that's changed over time, because I remember, like, when I first started doing Five Rhythms, kind of everything needed to be big in some way. It's like I needed to kind of really, like, feel my feet on the floor, like stamp a bit so that I could really feel my body. And then I remember I got meningitis, the first time I got meningitis. And I was really ill and I was in hospital for quite a while. And when I came out, it was the middle of the teacher training. And I remember when I came out, everything had to be small. And I mean, really, really small. And I realized my world didn't fall apart just because the movement was really small. And starting to recognize that there was a whole world there. And I think that's when something really changed for me in the dance.
Yeah.
Of realizing actually that this is a place that I feel really at home in, but I wasn't using very often, or maybe it wasn't using me very often. I wouldn't allow that.
Yeah, I remember feeling at the beginning as if it always had to be really wild and it had to have this huge chaos, and I don't think that was ever really all that natural to my system.
Mm.
And now I'm really happy for it to just be all on the floor or all on a chair. I just don't care really, as long as, you know, if that's helping me to find that place where I can just follow.
Mm.
I don't care if it's big, it's small, it just doesn't bother me.
Have you found then you know, like something similar to me, that kind of evolved over time? There's like a growing confidence in what's, you know, what dance emerges.
I think it was more external at the beginning, and I guess I probably was looking around and I think I was looking around a lot and seeing people. You know, there are people who chaos is really their thing and they go really crazy in chaos.
Mm.
And I was looking at that and thinking, well, it should be like that somehow. And that's not really my way of moving at all.
Mm.
And since the whole historical thing where Gabrielle died and then Open Floor came out of Five Rhythms, and, you know, all of that happened. And I kind of, you know, I did the Open Floor training, and then I kind of stepped back from it all for a while, and then re-engaged a bit during the pandemic with the online classes. Somehow that, all of that really enabled me to step into my own authority a lot more and not feel that I have to, well, I never really thought that I had to do anything that anybody said, but there was always a feeling like, there was always a should feeling like, oh, that teacher said, you know, do this, so therefore I should be doing, there was always some level of, well, I should be doing that, and some kind of tension between what was being said should be happening and what I was experiencing. Whereas now I don't really feel that tension at all. I'm just completely like, I will always go with what's happening for me, and I don't have any kind of anything around that. I will do. You know, even if it means I have to, I'm going to go home. You know, I'll just do that. And it's, yeah. Mm. So that's been really, that's happened for me in Ashtanga as well, actually. That's another level of sort of maturity that I feel much more rooted in here. And I think it also goes with a certain stage in life and becoming, you know, becoming more of a leader in your field, and somebody who mentors, and somebody who's, you know, holding that kind of space a bit more. Yeah, kind of stepping into that midlife phase what is that midlife phase? I don't know. Don't really have words for it, but it feels really different, and you know, the kinds of work I'm doing in this phase are different as well. So, but yeah, and I think I'm learning how to, especially with dancing, I'm learning how to find my way back into it now. Really, how to find my way back into it in terms of being in a group and being on a dance floor that somebody's holding rather than just putting on some music and dancing to it, which is what I've been doing more.
Yeah. I think like if I go to that place you were talking about, you know, that kind of shoulds and things, I think for me that was around partnering. Because I always found it, I was really happy in my own space, but there was such a lot of partner work. And I think, I can't remember if it was Yakov. I know that later he did formulate it, but I'm not sure it's here where I first experienced it. Oh, it wasn't actually. It was on one of the teacher trainings in module 3. I've just remembered it. And Gabrielle led us through 5 different ways of partnering. And I remember just feeling so relieved, because one of them in flowing was, you know, you being in your own space and moving, and somebody else was just sharing the space, and you could connect as much as you wanted. And there wasn't this kind of eye contact, this, which is in a lot of classes, for some reason, I thought I should do it that way. But I found it like I stepped over so many parts of myself to do that. And it wasn't where I wanted to be or what I wanted to do. But often I'm really happy to partner somebody who's close by, you know, in some way. And I'm really connected, you know, and moving. But I don't feel this sense of now I have to do something, or now we have to be one-on-one, or now. And I remember that, like leaning more into that way of partnering now, or partnering from a long way off, really changed something for me. I felt again more in my own authority. More in my own authority.
That really resonates for me. I mean, yeah. I have been in the past like really overwhelmed by the amount of partnering. You know, which is way, you know, being autistic, it was like way more than I could actually process or cope with. You know, I think for me, well, and there are dances where you're just left to your own thing and it evolves and it's really organic and that's lovely. Mm. But in settings where you're told, you know, now go and take a partner, it was, yeah, it was, you know, once in a dance would probably be enough for me on the whole.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd concur with that. Yeah,
you know, I don't know what's going on really in the various schools of conscious dance, but I hope that we as teachers are becoming more sensitive to that, and that people, you know, I just remember being sort of being kind of shamed for it in a way, that, you know, you should be able to connect, and only you shouldn't be just in your own world all the time. And yeah, that was really unhelpful. It's really unhelpful. But, you know, I hope that we're a bit more open to, you know, naming for people, like, well, there's a possibility here that you could move with somebody else, and that may be what works for you now, or maybe it isn't.
So how would you say that if you were, because I think that sounds really interesting to me as a teacher. How would you say that if you were with a group?
I'm trying to think now how I do invite people to take partners. I think I usually say something like, it's kind of an interesting one, because when you're in the teaching role, you're also looking at your group and like how your group is forming, and you know, you're kind of looking from a different perspective, aren't you? The whole thing in your container, and are people looking like they're really kind of disconnected, which I don't think is the thing that we're talking about. We're talking about deeply internally connected. But sometimes there's a thing where it feels really fragmented, or people look a bit scared to engage, that they want to, but they're a bit scared. So actually I do kind of invite it, but I try and invite it in a really open way. Like, you know, if you're feeling ready, take a partner. But if you're not feeling ready, that's fine. Just keep, or, you know, if you're really in your own space, stay in your own space. But if you feel the need to take a partner, then, you know, this is the moment to go and somebody else. But on the whole, I mean, at the moment I'm just teaching moving space, which is the former Greenwich Moves. And on the whole, in that group, the emphasis for me is really on creating this really strong container, and then allowing people to generate dances within it. So I'm not doing a lot of do this, do that kind of facilitation. I'm doing more invitational stuff, because that's how I like to dance, really.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great if you're somebody who has danced a lot, you know, or is dancing a lot and teaching, because I think it's possible to see it from different perspectives then, isn't it, when you're when you're trying to read a room, I think. I mean, I usually say, if you're willing, take a partner.
Yeah.
If you're willing. Yeah, sometimes I'm just not willing. You know, and sometimes I really am, like you say, you know, I possibly am, but I haven't, that opens the door for me when the teacher says it.
Yeah,
I think she's helpful.
The tricky thing for me as a dancer, and I suppose as a facilitator as well, is that I know when I'm on a dance floor, I might be willing to dance with one person but not another. And I feel like that's actually really healthy, to be willing to, you know, to have preferences about who you want to engage with in what way. And yeah, so I suppose that's just the question that's around for me now, is like how we facilitate that, or how we, and also how we negotiate it as dancers as well. Like,
I think we're doing it all the time. I know there is that thing in Five Rhythms, just saying, just the person who's next to you, it doesn't matter who they are or whatever, but I think we're always filtering out people.
Yeah.
I think we do it in a nanosecond. Well, I do.
Yeah.
You know, I do it in a nanosecond. I mean, where it feels less healthy to me is if there's somebody that I really want to dance with.
Yeah.
And that's when I just like lose absolutely everything. You know, I lose my whole dance, that's much more of a kind of a warning thing for me. I'm just like, I always know where they are in the room, and
yeah, that's awful. All that. That's awful. Yeah,
it's awful. It's exhausting. Just like life. Yeah.
Yeah, that feels really sticky, and
very
hard to get out of. Very hard.
It's really hard to get out of, isn't it? And also, like, you just know where somehow. I mean, that's the place where you just know it. You're not in your dance, you're not in their dance, you know, it's, yeah.
Yeah. I suppose that's where the, you know, just turn to the person next to you. The idea of that is to, you know, take out all of that up. I want to dance with him and her. And
yeah.
And which is coming from a more of an up here place.
Yeah.
But I think when you, when I'm really in tune, then I and my body is leading it, then my body will go where that dance needs to happen.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, yeah, I think this is the kind of magic place in all of that, which is, I mean, sometimes I'm on a weekend and I haven't met 2/3 of the group.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and I've been deeply in my dance. It's not like I've been picking and choosing, but actually I've been in my dance and the dances, you know, have happened, you know, as they've happened. Yeah. And for me, that's great. You know, I'm happy with that. I don't have to meet all the group. Yeah.
And it's wonderful when you're in a group that is all in that embodied place and has danced long enough that everybody can follow in that way.
Yeah.
I love that. When
yeah. You're
feeling that, yeah, this group is really, yeah, they're really in their body and
yeah. And it's interesting, isn't it? Because your best friend, you might not move towards them, which I find really interesting.
It is very interesting because I, you know, I've had partners who dance, like romantic life partners, and we could not dance together. In, you
know. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
And I suppose, yeah. You know, there are people who I can always drop in with in a dance and yet don't, and never really speak to them off the dance floor, or particularly get on with them.
No. I find that really weird.
What's yeah. going on is the body.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny, isn't it, that your body's just really wants that, but there's some of the rest of you doesn't at all. Yeah, I've noticed that as well. And I've been really shocked. I've had some amazing dancers and I've expected to really get on with that person, but I don't.
You don't?
No.
In fact, sometimes I'd rather not even speak to them off the dance
floor. Yes, I know.
Because, you know, I've had this experience where I had a great dance with somebody and then they were, oh, you know, we must have a
yeah.
Oh, God, I don't know.
Yeah,
you have to manufacture a relationship that you don't have in the outside world. You
know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is really weird, isn't it? It's like, I wonder how your body chooses what it's choosing, what it, you know, where it's choosing from.
Yeah. Perhaps it's choosing something that it really needs on an unconscious level, like there's a dance there that it really needs to dance.
Yeah, yeah.
But there are also people, I mean, actually with you, I can usually flow with you.
Really. Yeah.
You're one of the people I can drop in with. And I was saying to you the other day about Indy, at the moment I can really drop in with Indy.
Mm.
You know, there are other people who I know, yeah, I can just drop in with that person and we can... Mm. Really just keep flowing.
Yeah, and I think between us we're really good at knowing if the person wants to be on their own as well, or yeah. What I notice is we don't project ourselves so much onto the other person and then there's space to move away or yeah. towards. I think that I would say that's characteristic of our dance, as well as our hands. We often
yeah
go in through hands. Yeah. Yeah, we do.
Quite as well, actually. I think our dance and we dance together. I think it is quite graceful and
it's very graceful. Yeah, it's very balletic.
Living our inner ballerinas.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you need to? Is it time for you to head off?
Oh yes, I've got to go.
And I could talk about. I could talk for ages.
Yeah, I could as well because I'm really interested now. Yeah, but anyway, that was lovely.
It was really lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll continue in a cafe somewhere.
We'll continue it.
Yeah. All right. Bye, darling.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.